Hi, I'm Will Roadhouse, and I'm the CEO of Roadhouse International, and welcome to another episode of Expat Thailand. Today, I am going to talk to you about planning for your future, and I just had a really nice conversation. It's actually like 1 a.m. right now, and I just got off the phone with one of my best friends, and he's probably listening to this, so obviously I'm not going to tell you who he is, but I'm just going to kind of give you the gist of kind of our conversation without revealing any details, but how this can help you in your plan or planning, should I say, to move out of your country to a place like Thailand. So my friend lives in the United States on the West Coast, and he has a dilemma. And his dilemma is, you know, timing. What should I do? He already knows that he wants to leave the United States. And he may come back to the United States every once in a blue moon, maybe on vacations or visiting a family relative. But if anything, maybe those family relatives are going to visit him in Thailand, because obviously Thailand's, it's gorgeous here. And the other thing too is he wants to start cutting ties and start simplifying his life and his estate in the United States. And he was looking for kind of some different options. And this is what I told him. And many of you are probably in the same exact situation. Number one, it's mid-2022 right now. We're in May 2022. And the Fed has raised rates twice with five more down the road. And you have this big uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen next quarter. We don't know what's going to happen at the end of the year. Just like we don't know what's going to happen in the beginning of 2023. But there's a strong argument, if you've been keeping up with your financial reading and what's happening in the financial world, there are many, many CEOs in the United States that strongly feel that the United States will go into recession at the end of 2022 or beginning of 2023. And these are also bankers. These are CEOs for major financial institutions that are thinking about this. And then with the UK being at 9%, for some odd reason, I thought it was 10% not too long ago, but your inflation rate in the UK is like at 9%, which is still just stupid high. So we don't know what's gonna happen in the future, but these are the things we do know. Strong possibility, if you live in the UK, you're going to be in a recession if you're not in one already. Strong possibility, if you're living in the United States, you're going to go into a recession. So what happens when you go into a recession? What's happening right now? Take a look at earnings from Walmart and Target, even Apple, because of the problems of supply chain issues. People are just buying less because they have less disposable income from getting crushed from the equities market, crypto market, and also obviously their salaries aren't catching up to the rate of inflation. So they're buying less. They're shopping less. They're buying what's important. Food to put on the table, their mortgage, car payments. The massive amounts of different types of insurances that Americans have to buy. That's a necessity. A new iPhone isn't. A new Samsung gadget isn't. A new TV isn't. Going on vacations isn't. Those are not priority. So these numbers, and again, a lot of people are always very quick to forget what happens in tough times. I never forget what happened 2008, 2009, 2010. Those are three very, very tough years. But luckily, I just kind of did a semi-retirement and didn't work those years. But for many of my friends and my surrounding, crushed. These are people making millions of dollars a year, basically making zero out of a job. Massive high foreclosures, people's credit reports going to crap, up their eyeballs in debt, creditors calling them on a regular basis. It may not be that bad, but folks, something like that, on a lower scale is coming. Because we have too much that's going on with the war in Russia, Ukraine, which is causing problems, and then now EU countries are trying to get away from Russian energy. More sanctions can be in place. China's going into coming into some economic problems, which they kind of have been, especially with these some of the largest real estate developers that are extremely carrying extremely high in debt, like Evergrande, in a collapse or soon to be. I mean, they're already defaulting on their loan. So if you don't know who Evergrande is, they're the third largest or second largest developer in China. And they have massive amount of debt, and they have to be saved by the government. So China's potentially going to go into a recession. And also China is affecting supply chain issues. So none of this is going to be solved overnight. So as my friend and I, he's very extremely intelligent. And what they, you know, with my friends, they're all highly intelligent. And I measure intelligence not just of having a high pedigree of whether you have a master's or a PhD. It's just a combination of book smart and emotional intelligence. But it just so happens that this friend is both. He's highly intellectual with advanced pedigrees, advanced degrees, and also emotional intelligence. As we're discussing this, because he keeps very, obviously he's very well read, keeps in tune with what's happening with the macro economy around the world. So he agrees. He said, yes. I said, well, if you take a look at your state, right now you have a bird in hand. And when you have a bird in hand in times like this of uncertainty, when literally you're sitting on a, you know, kind of like on the edge, it can go, you're on the top of the peak of the mountain. And you can fall to the left or fall to the right, but you're at the absolute peak. And you're at the peak of this real estate market. You have a bird in hand. You have all this equity. And you have a choice. First choice is put it in the market, sell it as fast as you can. If you can do 15-day escrows, 30-day escrows, as fast as you can, sell it before the buyer changes their mind. Take that equity, invest it, and also buy something here in Thailand. Or do a cash out refi. Because cash out refis right now, there are still great loan programs right now because the mortgage, should I say, lending programs have not been affected yet. And again, if we recall back to the housing crash, when there were wonderful programs from 100 to 100 to 105 to 110% LTV, you had not just 5-1 arms, 3-1 arms, but you had 3 to 6 month arms. I mean, it was just crazy how you have Neg Am loans, you had all these loan programs. And then obviously when the crash came in 2008, they all disappeared. So right now you have a bird in hand. You have equity in your house and you have potential to take out all this equity in your home because you have great loan programs that are still in existence. Where these loan programs, 3 months from now, 6 months, 9 months from now, may not be here. Opportunity lost. And in times like this, when you're literally sitting there with no idea where the market's going to go, but everyone's telling you it's going to be bad. But the question is, how bad? Is it going to be bad? Is it going to be terrible? Or is it going to be a freaking effing nightmare? For me, I think it's going to be really bad. I don't think it's being like a nightmare. I think it's going to be really, really bad, especially for Western countries like Western Europe, Southern Europe, other nations like Australia, New Zealand, and North America, and also Latin America. Africa is always going to be bad, so I wouldn't even mention it. But here in Asia, we're in a bubble. We're in a bubble in the sense of we're nearby so many different countries, so when it and many of the countries here, we grow our own foods, we catch our own foods. So there's plentiful foods around and plentiful water. So sustaining life is not an issue here. When you look at places like South Africa, Cape Town, they ran out of water. Western Australia, just a few years ago, if you didn't remember, they ran out of water. They had a ration of water. Now the West and the Southwest, the United States, running out of water, severe drought. Latin America, running out of water, severe drought. There's a lot of problems if you're not reading, if you're not watching. But we are in a little bubble here in Asia, and it's a protective bubble where life is going to continue to thrive and we're not going to suffer. I'm not trying to put the fear in you, but all I'm saying is you have a bird in hand right now. If you're coming from Western country, whether it's North America, Australia, New Zealand, or Europe, or even some UK country where you speak English, I can tell you this. Your housing market is still at its peak. And from its peak, it's just going to go down from here. Sell your home or do a cash out refi. Take that bird in hand. Use part of that to buy a home free and clear, folks. You can buy a home of your dreams here in Thailand. Even a branded luxury condo on the beach that's managed by a branded hotel that is internationally recognized. Whether it's here in the beaches or here in Bangkok. But it's a wonderful place to live. It's like living in a resort. And that piece of property will be free and clear. And you'll still have enough money to live on or use that money to buy during the down market, buying the dip. And folks, let's say right now, if you can pull out $500,000 in cash, or if you sell your home, you have $500,000 in equity, I would take $400,000 of it, buy a killer freaking home here, either in the city in Bangkok or one of the beach cities, like in Jom Tien or Hua Hin, that's some places nearby, or even Cha Am. And then I would take that $100,000 that's left over and I would wait until third quarter or fourth quarter this year when the crypto markets have bottomed. Many analysts, not just for crypto, because they actually trade in both, crypto and equities, believe that we have not attained the bottom of the market yet. There's still more pain to be seen. So that means that when it bottoms, you can scoop up Apple, Tesla, Microsoft, Berkshire Hathaway, all these stocks at historical lows. Amazon is another one. Google, which is Alphabet. And then on the crypto side, because obviously I'm more familiar with the crypto side, right now Bitcoin is trading right around $30,000. Ethereum is right around $2,000, 50% off its high from last year in October. Or actually 55% off its high. But as you see what's happening in the market, a lot of crypto investors, even institutional investors, are still very, very pro-crypto and still feel that Bitcoin potential run to 100,000, half a million to a million can happen within the next 10 years. Without a doubt. But there's still a lot of room for it to go down even further. And some of those estimates, Bitcoin down to 20,000, even down to 18,000. Some are even saying down to 10,000. I don't think it'll go down to 10,000, but I definitely think there's a possibility of $15,000 to $20,000 per Bitcoin. Imagine being able to accumulate Bitcoin at that price. That's insane. Or accumulating Ethereum at $1,000 or $1,500. That's a bargain. So as a snapshot, and again, just a recap. The market right now is at a teetering point and you have a bird in hand if you own a piece of home, if you own a piece of real estate, your residential real estate, or any investment real estate. That means you have a lot of equity in it. Sell it. If you don't want to sell it, pull out all the equity. Use that money to buy a home here in Thailand that's free and clear. That should the market get really bad or turn into a nightmare like what happened in 2008, Yeah, no worries. Because you have a home here in Thailand that's free and clear. And if you haven't listened to my episodes about the different retirement programs, whether it's a long-term LTR program or the retirement program for people that are 50 and above, or the Thai Elite program, we have many, many different programs for you folks. You can live here full-time, very, very inexpensive, and have the visa that comes along with that. Then in addition to that is using part of that equity either to live on, but also using the remaining equity to invest in the future of buying in a down market. So many people, and I struggle with this with so many people, because it's easier said than done, but too many retail investors buy high and sell low, where it should be buy low, sell high. You should be accumulating when the fear index is at its highest. Right now, the fear index is at its highest. That's when you want to accumulate. When you look at your typical millionaire, even some billionaires, but typical millionaire that's worth anywhere from 7 figures to 8 figures that are investors, they will always tell you, I made my most of my money accumulating assets at a down market, whether it's in real estate or other investment assets, whether it's commodities or crypto or equities. We're in a down market. We're in a bear market. We're going into a crypto winter if we're not in one already. So you're probably asking us, what will? If we're doing that, then why don't I just dump all of it into crypto? Why don't I dump all of it into equities? No, no, no. You do not want to do that. So a very interesting article came out, I think it's from CNBC, from that Jim Cramer guy. He's the loud, obnoxious guy that has all the horns and stuff. I like some of his stuff, and then some of the stuff I don't like. But an interesting article came out not too long ago about his asset allocation. And he said, believe it or not, it's 50-50. 50% are in investment assets and the other 50% cash. People were kind of surprised. Really? As an investment guy? Wow. 50% in cash. He said, yes. Basically, the summarize the story, he and his wife come to a meeting of terms. His wife is more conservative, just like my wife. My wife is ultra conservative. And they made a deal. Okay, we'll keep 50% in cash to make you happy because you want that rainy day fund. But the other 50%, I get to play with that. That's for our investments and that's for our future. My wife and I have the same exact agreement. And that is outside of real estate, that's free and clear. So you never, Terra Luna, if you're not familiar with what happened with the token Terra Luna, the crypto, it literally went to zero in less than a week. It went from a high not too long ago of $88. Actually, the high was over 100 last year or earlier this year. But let's say it went from $88 all the way down to right now, it's 0.0007. It's not even worth a penny. It's worth a fraction of a penny. And again, it's one Terra Luna, one Luna coin is 0.000. That's 3 zeros and a 7. From a high not too long ago of $88 or $80. People have lost millions. Some traders that I follow, one lost 20 million, another one lost 1.8 million, another one lost 250. Another one lost a half a million. I mean, Binance lost 1.8 million. So that's why you don't want to put everything into one thing, especially during a bear market, especially during a crypto winter, especially when recession is right around the corner. If anything, you want to stabilize your assets, your estate. You want to eliminate debt. So what that means is making sure you have a home free and clear, so you have a roof over your head, in an environment, in a city, in a country where even in a recession, you can still afford to live well. and that's here in Thailand. And then you also want to make sure you have cash to live on. And in addition to that, some more cash to buy when the market's at its historical low. Even buying a little bit of crypto, DCA intoing it, dollar cost average, into crypto equities is not a bad idea. It may be going lower, but it does fluctuate, but over the long term, DCA is dollar cost average, where you're putting a specific amount, $1,000, $10,000, every single month, specific time, buying whatever you want to buy. Over the long term, it just averages out to your favor. But right now, I'm holding off on that because I feel there's more hurt in the market, where I feel that, for example, Bitcoin, which hovered all the way down to about 27,500 or 28,000, and ETH down to 1,700 or 1,800, I feel can come down even lower. I feel that potentially Bitcoin can easily come down to 25,000 and ETH down to 1,500. And that's when I'm gonna start accumulating again. And the great thing about cryptocurrency, you don't have to buy one Bitcoin. You don't have to buy one ETH. You can buy $10 of it. You can buy $5 of it, $30, $100. You can buy a fraction of a token or of a coin. Just like Robinhood allows you to buy also stocks or equities at a fraction. And there are obviously other trading platforms that allows you to buy fractional shares. But beyond all that, folks, the moral of this, the gist and the heart of this episode is you have an opportunity right now. You literally have cash in your hand. And it doesn't feel real because you're not holding it. And that's what makes it harder. If someone were to dump $500,000 in your hand right now and say, this is what you have, you either have this or just ride the market, you would probably take that $500,000 and say, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do a cash out or I'm gonna sell my house. I'm gonna take this equity and leave. But you're not holding on to that equity physically. So it makes it harder to imagine, makes it harder to visualize. But I want you to tell you right now, you have a prime opportunity right now to sell at the top of the market, which you've probably never done because historically, like most retail investors, you've probably bought high and sold low. Or if you bought and then you've just never made any money because it flattened out. Well, for many of you that have bought homes even just 1, 2, 3 years ago, you've made 35 to 50% equity in your home. So you have cash. And that cash, as the markets get worse, as the interest rates get higher and higher, as we go into recession, as retailers start posting horrible revenues, as consumer confidence index goes down, as the war rages on, supply chain issues gets worse, other indicators in a macro level where other countries like China are suffering, that's just taking money from your equity. So you could just start peeling off every time. When the market starts flattening and it goes down, start taking out 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, because that's what's going to happen to the value of your homes. If you don't believe me, just sit down, read, and to really think about what happened in 2008, 2009, 2010. It was not too long ago, and too many people are quick to forget what happened back then. So if you lost everything back then and you remade it and you made everything back and you're back to making 7-8 figures, that's great. Well, just don't repeat what you did before. Take this opportunity to change, to be a little bit more conservative, and if anything, make that transition into another country like Thailand. That's just going to give you a better style, a better lifestyle, shall I say. and that allows you to own things at a fraction of the price, like real estate, allows you to have this luxurious lifestyle at 1/10 of the cost. So please, really, really take this episode to heart. And please, ask yourself those tough questions. Ask your spouse those tough questions. Take a walk. Go out to dinner. Sit down in the backyard in a pool. Have a glass of wine with a significant other, with your family. And ask these tough questions. Talk about what's happening. And that's the sad thing about parents and kids and family dynamics. They don't feel they can talk about finances. That's one of the things that that we taught when I was working for this financial institution, is we would actually hold seminars for families on how important it is and how to talk about finances with your kids. The faster you can educate them about finances, the better and more well off they're going to be in the future. When you're not preparing your children in times like this, we are coming into a tough time. And if you are opening their eyes and you are educating them and they're seeing this unfold in front of their eyes, it makes them into a smarter, more financially savvy individual that won't make these type of financial mistakes that you did in their future. You're preparing them for the worst, because they're going to go through the worst. They're going to see it. So sitting down with your family, letting them know, this is what's happening. We're struggling. Paycheck to paycheck, but you have all this equity in your house. There are some changes you have to make. Or if you're just super rich, you see these changes. You're getting tax heavier. Revenues in your company is going down. Or you're just at a point where you've been working so hard for so many years and so many decades, you just need a freaking rest. And you just want to wind down. You just don't want to have all these obligations. Now, for the individual that has an 8-figure estate, even a 9-figure estate, it's time to start consolidating. Start making your life easier. Maybe getting your company ready and prepping it for sale. It's because it's going to be harder to sell your company during the recession. Might as well start prepping it for sale now. If you have second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth home, start selling them, because you're probably not going there all the time. I have a friend of mine that I was visiting his penthouse condo, and this was a long time ago in Vegas. And as we were walking out, it's literally like a car show. There's freaking so many supercars there. So there's this Rolls Royce. It wasn't a Phantom. It was the one just below that. So it was a Ghost, I think. So Rolls Royce Ghost. It was a white one, I think. And those are still like $350,000, $375,000. Sat there, just covered with dust. All four tires are flat. In order for a car to get that dusty and all four tires to be flat, that means it's been sitting there for at least 3 to maybe 4, maybe even 5 years. So someone bought that car, probably bought also a penthouse in that building, probably only came once and never came back. So how many of you have those type of homes that you only visit once, twice a year? Well, the market's at its peak. And most of you probably still have mortgages on that, because your stupid freaking business advisor is advising you, don't pay cash for these homes. Keep a mortgage, because we have tax write-offs. So you probably have a mortgage on all these homes. So you made a big chunk. They may have gone up 35, 40, 50%. Sell them. Consolidate. Because you're rich for a reason. You built something in a down market. So there's no reason why you should not be doing the same exact thing with your own estate. Sell it at its peak, then wait 2 to 3 years, you could probably buy those homes back at a bargain. Just like right now, what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the market at the bottom so I can buy equities and crypto at historic lows. You always want to accumulate assets with the market at its all-time fear. You want to sell your assets when the market is at all-time greed. So there's a fear and greed index, folks. For those of you that aren't familiar with these terms and aren't familiar with, let's just say, trading, there's a fear and greed index. It goes from one end, which is fear, to the other end, which is greed. Right now, we are at fear, complete fear of the market. But this is a time to be accumulating. This is a time to be selling. Selling as high, accumulating when it's low. But then on the other side is greed. That's when the market, equity markets are taking off, crypto markets taking off, real estate markets taking off, like it has been, like it was, you know, pre-pandemic, let's say, you know, 2021 and prior. Everybody was making money. Everyone's portfolio was up. Everything's peachy, everything's great. That's the time that you want to sell. A good, simple, a simple proof of that is the fear and greed index was at its highest at greed right around October of last year, 2021, when crypto was its highest and equity was up there too. Equity markets its highest. Then November, December, just took an absolute nosedive. So for those people that sold back then, they sold at its highest greed. They made a killing. They made a killing. It's tough because retail investors like yourself have a very tough time because you are emotionally attached to your estate. You're emotionally attached to your asset. Maybe you bought Bitcoin at its highest at $67,000 or $68,000. Yeah, if you still bought, which many people did in 2021 at its highest point, it's okay. Just hold on to it. It'll go back up. But what a savvy investor would have done, they would have done a stop loss. They would have sold it at 59 or 58. And then just kick back and wait and see what happens. Because the market just got further lower and lower and lower. It's better to cut a little bit of losses than to take a whole complete loss. Just like the people that are holding on to Luna. They just saw it literally just nosedive. But some people are unfortunate. It happened while they're sleeping and they woke up like, holy cow, what just happened? I don't want you to have the same exact problem. Real estate obviously is going to be it's going to be gradual, and that makes it even tougher. When the market fluctuates as much as it does in crypto, it's very easy to see top and bottom because it's just so volatile. It's easy to trade those. It's easy to see those. It's easier to take a step back. But when you have an asset, let's say like real estate, it's very gradual. So what's happening now and what can happen 30, 60 days later, even if the market starts to go down 3%, 5%, 10%, you may not feel the difference, but those are big, significant changes. I mean, if the equity market changed by 5 or 10%, oh my God, they're like, oh my God, it's crashing. But the only time you ever see real estate in real pain is when it's too late. When the media starts talking about foreclosures are increasing, interest rates are increasing, home prices are flattening, home sales are flattening or decreasing, it's too late for you. That means the market has already probably went down 15-20%. That means that big bundle of cash, and again, back to $500,000 in equity, that means now you just lost 50 to 100 grand. Don't make that mistake. Especially if you're in your 50s or 60s. Now is time to make the tough decision And folks, the decision is tough, but once you get here, you're going to ask yourself, and you're going to tell yourself, and you're going to tell all your family and friends, I should have did this 5 years ago. I should have did this 10 years ago. I've been doing this for 20 years. Latin America, expats that move there, they eventually move back to the States. The ones that are wealthy, the ones that have money, that are rich, upper middle class, upper class. Even the ones that are middle class, just like, oh, it's not as inexpensive as it is. I'm just going to go back to the States because, or to Canada, because there's more opportunity. I can't make any money in Latin America because I can't retire because it's getting too expensive. And their side hustles aren't making enough money to compensate for that. But here in Asia, I've never ever ran across anyone that felt that way. The older expats that I meet that are in 50s, 60s, and 70s always say, I should have did this sooner. I've been here for 5 years. I've been here for 10 years. I've been here for 20 years. I should have came here sooner. So please, do yourself a favor. Challenge yourself in asking the tough questions. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Have enough self-confidence to talk to your family about it. Discuss it as a family. Discuss it as a couple. Because this is not something that needs to be swept under the carpet. The market is literally changing in front of our eyes. The writing is on the wall. People that are much smarter and much richer than you and I are saying a recession is here or a recession is coming. Those same exact people are saying interest rates are going up. Supply chain issues are going to continue. Inflation is going to continue to be historic highs. Salaries will not catch up to the rate of inflation. If you are not reading the news or watching the news because you don't want to hear these bad stories, well then I feel bad for you, because you're the individuals or individual where one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be like, oh my God, my world is now crashing. That happened to a lot of people in 2008, 2009. They woke up one day when they saw the writing on the wall in late 2006. We saw in 2006 because people were doing cash out refis to buy properties in places like Costa Rica. So our business completely dried up in 2006. So the crash really started towards the end of 2007. So we saw it a year prior to that. So I got devastated, but not as bad as most people. I didn't wake up one day and like, holy cow, what just happened? Like most people, I saw it happen. And I was trying to quickly scramble to make changes in my financial state, in my state. But many people, the retail people out there, woke up one day like, holy cow, my home price just decreased by 25%. And my home is completely overappraised in value. I am upside down on my mortgage. I have a chance to be laid off or my salary being cut. Oh my God, what can I do? And by that time, it's too late. People turn to drugs, they turn to suicide, they just walk away from their families. It's not none of those are the right answers. If it's always been difficult for you to challenge yourself with these tough questions, now is the time to do it. It's like history repeating itself. It happened during the dot-com boom. Boomed, bust. Same exact scenario. Real estate, financial crash, boom, bust. Same exact scenario. We're seeing the same exact thing play out 10 years later. It's happening in front of our eyes. And you cannot turn a blind eye. You cannot say, I'm too busy to think about this. I don't have the time. I don't want to talk to my family about this because I don't want to start creating problems. Well, if you think your problems are going to be bad or are bad, wait till when it is bad. That problem all of a sudden now is an incurable nightmare with no solutions. The only solution is your house is going to go into foreclosure. Your equity portfolio has decreased a total of 90%. You have to go back to work, but nobody's hiring. If, in fact, everyone is cutting back on jobs. Carvana laid off like 2,800 people. Carvana, this is the company, this is a token company during a pandemic that was buying up cars and were killing it. Now they're a meme, now they're a meme stock. And this is only the beginning. Please prepare yourself. Do it now before it's too late, before you get in dire straits. You may be challenged a little inconvenience of having to move, having to do this, having to shuffle things around, but that little bit of inconvenience is going to save you from a lifetime of misery. It's better to be rich. It's better to have money. Anyone that says that, yes, money is evil, truly has never been rich. I tell you, being rich is better than being poor. I'd rather have rich guy problems than poor people problems. And there are such things as rich people problems too. But the thing is that when markets are changing quickly like this, which it is, literally in front of our eyes, people don't react. It's odd. It's like they see this, like you see this little fire in your backyard, in your house. You're like, oh, it's just a little fire. It just go away. But all of a sudden, the fire starts climbing up, starts burning this rose bush that's been dead for a while. And it's slowly, slowly going up to, it's going to start burning your palm tree. Then once a palm tree goes, it's going to catch your roof on fire. Then your house eventually burns down. Most people, when they see a fire, they're going to quickly react, get their hose, put out that fire. But you know what the crazy thing when it comes down to personal finance? What crazy stuff, when the writing is on the wall that, hey, alarm, alarm, pay attention here. The world is going into recession. Here are all the issues. These are all the smart and rich people talking about it, making changes. You should be too. You know what people do? Instead of taking a step forward and executing on a strategy, they take 2 steps and 10 steps back, sweep it on the carpet, hopefully that it goes away. That is insane. That to me, I just don't get. Don't be one of those people. You can't sweep this under the carpet. The real estate crash showed the same exact thing. Dot-com crash showed the same exact thing. The people that saw the writing on the wall, that refused to believe it, when it was too late and they lost everything, they're still recovering. There are people that were rich in a dot-com boom, still today are not rich. They never made it back. There are people that were multimillionaires during a real estate boom, are still recovering and never made it back. Don't be one of those people. So the moral of today is you have a bird in hand, you have opportunity, you have equity in your house. Use it or lose it. So thank you so much for joining me, and I hope to see you in Thailand.